You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, we saw the Green Party Steaua newsletter pulled when an article with transphobic rhetoric was allowed to be published. The treatment of transgender people can often be brushed aside with little understanding about how these kinds of rhetorics impact the community. I will do a little trigger warning as I will be discussing discrimination and assault. These rhetorics can often paint transgender people as predators and fail to recognize how vulnerable this community is. The data around the rainbow community is fairly scarce. The Ho'o Te Rongo Kahukura Outlining Violence report from 2016 detailed personal accounts in which transgender people have violence perpetrated against them and can be ignored by police or it simply isn't reported. A quote from that report is as follows. Our data is fucked, really. We don't have national victimization data in New Zealand. We base our conversations on this, on who goes to the police to get help, and we know people in the rainbow community aren't going to police at all. In one hui, a trans woman described being violently attacked by her husband. She called the police who left the property without helping her after her husband lied and told them he had just found out his wife was a transsexual. Transgender, diverse, and intersex people are often missed in research, and it is only recently we are seeing a push towards allowing people to identify outside of a binary. While this speaks to what is a much wider subject, I was wanting to look and focus today on what exactly the effects of this talk are on the community. National Coordinator of Gender Minorities Aotearoa, Ahi Wi Hongi, joined me to discuss.
I imagine that the Greens are managing, when you have a membership that's like some thousands of people, some of them are going to have views that aren't ideal or don't align with what your kaupapa is. And then maybe sometimes one of those people are going to write a letter or an article for your magazine and it's going to slip through and not get noticed. So I don't think it's so much that the Green Party has... has anti-trans views. I think it's more that, somebody who is a member of the Green Party, has anti-trans views. So it's unfortunate, it's really unfortunate that letter was published, but I think you have to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. Because it can seem as though everybody has those anti-trans views, when in fact it's like a relatively small number of people.
Yeah, that is something I've spoken with a few people about, how this is a seemingly small percentage of the population who holds these views, but somehow have garnered quite a big platform.
Yeah, I think that they're just very loud. It's often people who have, they've got some of their views about being marginalised, as women are completely, valid, completely valid feelings. And, there's truth, of course, to the reason why feminism exists. But I think that sometimes when you're used to feeling like you are the oppressed minority, all the time and fighting a lot on that basis, and perhaps your whole identity revolves around being the oppressed person in every situation, I think sometimes you can just get it wrong. I think that there's a bit of getting it wrong about who's doing the oppressing or what the stakes are or what stake trans people have in feminism and in, the wider society. And I think that the blame has been misplaced onto trans people, and then they're used to having to shout about their rights, so they're doing that, but they're just aiming it at the wrong people.
Mm. I guess what's interesting there is what would you kind of say to trans exclusionary radical feminists?
I think go back to your roots and look at what feminism's really about, because it's not about telling other women what they should do with their body or you know, or how they should do gender, or it's really not about policing other people. You know, like feminism is about supporting other women and upholding each other's rights and fighting against power over relationships, not creating new power over relationships.
And I guess the other thing to this is, how do these rhetorics actually go about impacting the transgender community?
Well, we know that trans people are discriminated against, you know, really quite broadly in housing and healthcare and education and employment. You know, trans women experience some of the highest rates of sexual violence out of all populations, like higher rates than non-trans women. And also Indigenous trans people experience really high rates of sexual violence as well. So we know that there are a lot of bad things happening to trans people, and the sort of rhetoric that anti-trans activists are pushing just makes that worse. You know, that really just inflames it and gives people, you know, pushing the wrong ideas onto people, pushing false ideas onto people about what's happening with trans rights, not acknowledging that trans rights are human rights and trans women are women, and just not recognising the actual evidence base that's there, the actual statistics on things. Yeah, like putting the wrong idea out there that's anti-trans really does harm trans people.
Yeah, because what you tend to find in these narratives is a tendency to treat the transgender community as a threat by TERFs. And from what I know, can't speak to it personally, but the experience of being transgender is not easy and can be incredibly difficult and dangerous and deadly in some instances.
Yeah.
Could you speak to that a bit more?
Well, there's a lot of, I guess that there's a lot of, in New Zealand, there's just a lot of discrimination against trans people. So if you've got people going around saying, watch out, every trans woman is probably a rapist, that's not, you know, that's not an okay message to say about trans women. And I remember, you know, there's been lots of different cases where, throughout history, there's been lots of different cases where different groups of women who were marginalised in different ways, you know, were treated like they were a threat, whether that was like racial or disabled women. There's lots of different instances where some women have said, these other women are a threat, we shouldn't give them rights, we shouldn't let them in our spaces. And it's never, you know, it's always really harmful for those minority groups, and then they always have to fight to be accepted and, you know, and to get society to understand them and accept them. And then, you know, it follows that you start to see the discrimination lessening. So it's kind of the discrimination and violence and minority stress that people are living with is really big.
Do you see instances in which these rhetorics can push towards actual political action?
Yeah, we've seen it in the past. The reason we don't have, you know, a lot of treatments, medical treatments for trans people aren't available, or we can't get them on insurance, we can't get them in public health systems, or it's very difficult to get them in public health systems. That originally was because of anti-trans activists who fought against the inclusion of those things in the US, and then was taken out of the, you know, out of the public system, and then the private insurance companies decided that they wouldn't do it either, since it didn't seem that they would have to, and then the rest of the world sort of followed suit. So we've seen what they have done to trans people and trans people's healthcare, which is one of the biggest barriers that trans people have to face. Not being able to get your basic healthcare needs met is a, you know, it's a really gross negligence of human rights. But it didn't happen by accident. It is because of people actively campaigning against trans rights.
Mm. And I guess just speaking back to the Te Awa newsletter, what you find in these narratives, they can be kind of convincing for some people, but there are little dog whistles in terms of language that gets used. What do you think people should be on the lookout for if they are hearing someone speaking about transgender people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think often it looks really, you know, they might be putting up stickers that say things like, it's okay to be a lesbian, it's all right for women to love women. And on their own, those are really good messages. It is okay for women to love women. But when viewed together with the other messages that they're saying, you know, it's that women can't have a penis, or, you know, women always have a vagina, or that sort of thing. So you can kind of see, like, there's a lot of their messaging. It's not very obvious when it's on its own. Quite often, they try to talk about biological sex as though biological sex has some more scientific truth to it than gender has. But it's sort of the opposite of what feminism says as well, which is that, you know, if sex is a class, that's about the way that you're treated. It's about the way that society perceives you, and gender is constructed based on how society perceives you. So when feminists say gender is a construct, they're saying it's something that is created. It's something that is based on how people perceive your gender, and they therefore treat you like a traffic light. You know, you see it's not a fake traffic light. They're not pretend and make believe, but they're constructed by humans, and they mean a specific meaning, you know, attached to a green light or a red light or however. So when people see you as, say, a trans woman or a trans man, it's a little more, there's differences between how trans men and how trans women are viewed and treated in the world, but let's say if someone sees you as a trans woman, they're not likely to treat you better than they would treat you if they just saw you as a woman and didn't know you were trans. And I guess on top of that, so that they're not likely to, if they can tell that you're trans, they're not likely to treat you better than someone who they didn't know was trans. But they are likely to treat you with misogyny if that is how they treat women. So it's not, there's no scientific fact to biological sex that is different or beyond, you know, what the science of how gender works is. Yeah, so I guess that's a little bit of a long, complicated thing. You might not want to put that all on.
No, but I think it's an important thing to say. Yeah. That was all my questions, but did you have anything else you want to add?
I guess it's just really, really important for people to recognise how similar this is to 30 years ago when we had homosexual law reform. And in New Zealand at the time, you know, it was illegal to be a man and have sex with another man. So it was illegal to be a gay if you were a man. And we saw people use arguments like, well, there's going to be gay men in the public toilets and they're going to sexually assault children. And, you know, a lot of the same things that they're saying now about trans women especially, it's the same things that people were saying about gays 30 years ago. And so we recognised then that was rubbish. You know, gay men are part of our communities, and they're not paedophiles, and they're not creeps. They're just normal people, and they should have the same rights and the same respect as everyone else. And now 30 years on, they're saying that about trans women. You know, trans women are also normal people who are part of our communities. Trans people are part of our communities and deserve the same humanity and dignity as everybody else.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.